Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have John joining me for this week's Rutgers preview. Illinois on the road, game 11. What do we think, John?
We're off the schneid. We're resetting the back half of the season expectations, and I'm hoping that the vibes can continue because I liked what I saw against Michigan State. You know, that team seemed like it might have had a little quit in it, but still going out there and taking care of business the way they did gives me a lot of hope for this game, because this is probably, you know, when looking at the final three games, the toughest projected game, obviously going away, and a pretty good Scarlet Knight team that has a couple wins recently. But yeah, I got to be honest, I'm feeling pretty good.
I feel pretty good too, especially winning the way we did against Michigan State. But I don't know, you said this is the hardest game left, but for some reason, Northwestern just seems to always have our number. So I'm equally worried about that game, but this is another one of those games. I think the line opened up. Rutgers was a 1.5 point favorite. Now lines have shifted a little bit. Illinois is now a 1 point favorite. So it's one of those games, could go either way. On the road, senior day for Rutgers. It's just, I don't know, you gotta show up and play another solid game. We need the team that played Michigan State last week, not the team that played Minnesota 2 weeks ago.
Well,
or three weeks ago, I guess, with the bye.
Yeah. 3 weeks, two games. I'm curious if, I mean, you sent me a freaking laundry list of injuries from the Rutgers team that, you know, that might be the reason you got a little bit of that line movement. But I wonder also if some money's coming in because they saw, like, that was finally a, like, I know that the yardage was fairly equal and that, you know, it wasn't actually that, whatever. But, like, I'm just glad that we had so many points in that Michigan State game because, like, for whatever reason, like, or not for whatever reason, like, I know that that's, like, what helps drive metrics, but, like, just having that kind of output for a game just makes, like, the Vegas types and the nerd types and, like, everyone's just like, oh, you know, maybe we'll put some money on the Illini. And it's not just, like, fluky luck that is getting them to win games, even though, yeah, maybe it was a little bit more even than you'd expect. But I mean, it was also just, you know, a great showing where you got, speaking of senior day, on our senior day, you got guys like Zachary and Pat, some tutties. Josh McCray, obviously not a senior, but still going off. Hopefully he can kind of continue to roll with those vibes. Maybe it'll be a battle of the running backs because we got our guy Kyle Manungai for Rutgers, you know, showing out. Who can get more touchdowns?
Kyle Manungai is one of my favorite running backs in college football, besides Ashton Jeanty, but he's everyone's favorite running back this year. Kyle Manungai is just, the dude produces, and he's been doing it for a while. So before we dive deeper into this Rutgers matchup, can we just talk some bowl game projections? You know, we're at the part of the season where typically we're not talking bowl games, and
we've clinched a winning season.
Let's just relish in the fact that we're on projections for all sorts of bowl games. I've seen a lot of, you know, we talked about it last week, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, potential matchups with Tennessee, with, you know, Georgia was floated, but they're winning games now, so maybe they're in the playoff, but
maybe an LSU. I mean, I would take that all day. I'm just kind of hoping that you get one of these teams in the SEC, and, you know, I've consumed enough commentary on the Indiana thing and the SEC, two loss SEC thing, where I'm just like, I'm so tired and done with it, but I'm also just like, I want the SEC to just fall on its face so badly because they finally have like a pretty mid year and they're all trying to cape for themselves. It's like, it's such weird stuff. Like, I get that there's like something to the effect of like having an elite conference because you can help recruit to it, but like actively rooting for like other teams that you compete against consistently to do well, it's just bizarre, but that's besides the point. I am hoping that one of these, you know, two lost teams that falls to, you know, a three or four lost team just gets absolutely defeated. You get a bunch of guys declaring for the draft. They kind of almost have like the Florida State thing that happened last year where it's like, oh, you know what? We didn't get in, so we're going to pout. And then they just laid an egg. And I'm kind of hoping that something similar happens where we go up against an SEC team where they're just like, actually, we don't care about Illinois. And we go out and win, and then boom, 10-win season.
I've been doing the thing that apparently fans of bowl teams do, which is just look at every single projection. I stumbled across something interesting. Apparently, I don't know if you know this was a shock to me. one of the bowl games this year, the Arizona Bowl, is now called the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
I believe it, because that was the old, that's the old Barstool Bowl, and I know that they're not doing any like production or big things like that anymore. So
I need to Google this and figure out why. What is the Snoop Dogg Bowl? Like, what? I have no idea. I assume he's got like, business or something.
That was like when Elk Grove, like Elk Grove Village, sponsored a bowl or whatever. Like, you sometimes get these random. I think that one was, I don't know if that was the Bahamas Bowl, but there was definitely, I want to say it was either a Florida baseball or something like that. But it just, yeah, Elk Grove Village randomly sponsoring a bowl. So Snoop Dogg just getting into the bowl sponsoring game.
I Googled Snoop Dogg Bowl. I'm showing John my screen right now. This is bad podcasting. The first thing that shows up.
You should just no context tweet that out right now, and then people who listen will appreciate it later.
A $65 PetSmart Snoop Doggy Dogs off the chain gold bowl. I might need this as a. I don't even have a dog, but I might want. I just eat cereal out of this thing.
I was going to say, yeah, you just treat yourself. Come for the Rutgers preview, stay for the Snoop Dogg Bowl dissection.
Yeah, it looks like apparently Snoop Dogg has his own gin and juice brand, so.
I believe it.
Whatever. Bowl games, though. The Mayo Bowl, that's the other one, I think. I saw some projections that had us in the ReliaQuest Bowl. I assume that the bowl that had us last year wouldn't pick us or prioritize us. I don't know how that works, but we don't go to too many bowl games, so I don't know. Like, exactly. Can you go to the same bowl back to back, or do they try to mix it up and get different fan bases?
I would think that they try and mix it up, but at the same time, if the chips fall where they may and we're back into ReliaQuest, then I guess that's the way it is. I mean, it wouldn't be the same year over year because obviously we weren't bowling last year, but like it would be odd to see us back there. But
you got to win games to even get to that point. Though,
I was going to say, so. I mean, there's still an outside chance that we're talking playoffs.
Yeah, 7-5, and maybe you're headed up to Detroit. So you got to win a couple games here if you want to really get in one of those premier games like the Citrus Bowl. But it's fun to check in on that stuff. See where the fan base might be traveling in a month or so.
I just love the fact that we can be so casual talking about a 7. Like, this is exactly, and I know that I've mentioned this before, this is exactly what we hoped for when we were just like in college, thinking about like the doomsday scenarios that were currently happening and what we just want to get out of. And it's this, it's just being able to talk casually about a bowl game in late October, early November, just being like, oh yeah, we can look at bowl projections because that's reasonable because we should be in the 6 to 7, maybe 8. Game win range, and we're doing it right now, and it's just I love it. I am so happy that we can just like it, and even recruiting off that and building a higher floor and giving Brett Bielema some more resources, it's just all falling into place. But once again, same messaging as last week, you can like just exponentiate your program trajectory if you keep winning it, if you find those victories in the margins, if you find a way to beat a Rutgers team. I get it that the immediate reaction is just like, oh yeah, they beat a Rutgers team, similarly rated, similarly ranked, whatever. But then you go out there and you have enough to sell. Like, I've been seeing stats about how this is like the most, or I think I saw Bielema did a hit, and he was talking about this is the most wins in a 3-year period since like 2001. So stuff like that, that you can tangibly sell on the recruiting trail, that you can use to drum up more fan interest, to get more money, to then get better facilities, to then get better football players. It's just, it all, you know, kind of coalesces in these moments, and you just don't want to see the guys falter at all. So keeping it very big picture, it's just awesome that, yeah, we get to look at these bowl projections and what all that could mean.
And let's not sleep on the fact that we are in the college football playoff rankings, number 25, with a,
that's so sweet.
I think I saw some analytics that had us with a 1% chance of backdooring our way into the college football playoff. So maybe by some sort of miracle, we have some teams, maybe 24 through 10, that start losing football games down the stretch, but we're not going to hold our breath. Everything that comes our way, we are going to be more than happy with. And, you know, it's been a great season and a few more games to make it even better.
Hey, if they want to use us as a pawn to give Penn State a better looking win, and then that ends up with us, you know, getting a more favorable rating, and that then some things break our way, and oh, we were ranked 20 in the 20s, so you can't not move us down. Like, I'll take it. I'll take the initial peddling for Penn State that then leads to us somehow sneaking our way in. Tell me we won't.
But the man who stands in our way is none other than Minnesota transfer, Ethan Kaliak-Manis, a man
the
who...
The Greek rifle.
Brett Bielema and the Illini have owned, but this year when he's not there, we lose to Minnesota. Is this our way of beating Minnesota if we can take down Rutgers?
I mean, that's a great call. I mean, maybe I was a little too hasty in my thoughts of beating Minnesota this year, and I should have just circled Ethan Kaliak-Manis. He looked real good to start the season. Like, it looked like he had kind of found something in terms of, you know, his quarterback development, because he was a really high. He was like one of the highest rated Illinois prospects when he came out. Small school Antioch boy, but he never really worked out in Minnesota, but it looked like it might be okay at Rutgers to start the season. He's kind of regressed to what we know. So with that in mind, I think that we might actually be okay. I'm of course always worried that, you know, our defense is still kind of looking a little suspect, but I mean, he's not the kind of guy who's going to like necessarily abuse you with the arm. So maybe you can sell out a little bit more in terms of stacking the box and taking care of our guy, Kyle Manungai, and then just hoping that he doesn't keep it too many times on a read option.
Yeah, we'll have to see, because early in the season, he looked good. And then Rutgers had that 4-game skid and they struggled to score points. But the last couple games, they've gotten back on track and he's had a couple games over, you know, 250 yards. I think he's got 6 touchdowns and 1 interception over his last couple. So they're letting him start to throw the ball around a little bit. But to your point, Kyle Manungai is the guy that if you shut him down, I think you can kind of slow this offense. And I think Illinois' game plan will be let Ethan Kaliak-Manis throw the ball and stack the box and see if we can beat him. And it's going to be one of those games too, you know, low 50s. You know, it's winter weather coming. It's not raining, not snowing, but it's going to be kind of one of those, I think, ugly Big Ten football games at 11 a.m. And I don't know. I'm ready for kind of just an ugly game. I don't know that they're going to be making points. At least that's my prediction.
Especially with the fact that, like, I know that they do enough. It's, you know, obviously it's a mini professional sport now in college football. So they've got enough research to know how to take care of an 11 a.m. Eastern time body clock thing, but that just screams to me like the offense being so sluggish. And then I really hope that then the defense comes out with their hair on fire, because that's just something where you don't want to be down, like, I don't know, 10-0 to Rutgers to start.
If it's cold and windy, it's one of those games where I see receivers dropping balls and I see, you know, Josh McCray getting a heavy and steady workload. If Rutgers is leaning heavily on Manungai, I think we need Josh McCray to do what he did last week, which found the end zone 3 times. He looked kind of back to his old form, and it's nice to finally see that from him.
It was great to see, like, honestly, the entire run game. Like, I'm sneaky loving what I'm seeing from Aiden Loughery. Yeah, I think he's probably a little pissed that he didn't reach out to try and get that first career tutty, and then he got the vulture tutty from McCray from 1 yard out.
He also had that he was wide open in the end zone, and for whatever reason, Luke just didn't throw him the ball. And I don't know if that was a flashback to early season when he dropped the wide open pass in the end zone, but Luke was not decisive on that play and could have been a touchdown for him there.
Yeah, that was, but to the overall point, like, the running game seems to look like it's in an all right spot. I mean, obviously it's kind of always going to be dependent on how the offensive line is looking on that given day. You know, I'm grateful that there is some cohesion with them in the sense that, like, there hasn't been too much shuffling. You know, Henderson and Chrysler are kind of, like, you know, doing some platooning, but otherwise it's, you know, enough to build some chemistry within the unit, even if the unit is not necessarily in and of itself super strong. But I also then am kind of, like, wary of just, like, okay, Josh McCray 3 touchdowns. We can set our watch to that very easily. So, it's definitely going to be one of those where, to your point with the weather especially, maybe get some of that wind and you're not able to throw the rock as much as you'd like, and you're going to have to lean on the big boys both up front and in the backfield with Josh McCray.
And then on the other side of the ball, after Dylan Rosiak went out in the Minnesota game, I thought our linebackers looked pretty good. We had James Kreutz in there. We had Kanenna. We had Ryan Mead. even some Malachi Hood play. And I thought those guys played pretty well, all things considered. I liked what I saw from them.
Yeah, I like giving guys more opportunities to prove themselves and to develop and to progress. I know sometimes that it can be a little overwhelming in a game setting, and maybe that isn't the best for the development trajectory. But to your point, like getting a guy like Malachi Hood, just some snaps out there to get him accustomed to real live game speed is just so invaluable, especially in a scenario like that where, you know, you kind of are handling a Michigan State team. So, you know, it might not call for when you're trying to defend a Kyle Manungai, it might not call for quite that heavier rotation. You might just try and anchor down with the guys like Kreutz and Mead, even though I don't know if that's necessarily going to be, I don't want to say the best option, because there at some point, even if it's not a great option, it has to be a best option for the team. But I am definitely going to be looking at those guys in terms of making sure that they're getting their keys right. And you know, we touched on it earlier. There's a laundry list of injuries for Rutgers, including on the offensive line. So, you know, you're just going to have to make your reads and hit the hole with authority.
And then a couple other guys I want to shout out. One, the guy we thought maybe with the green dot, we weren't really sure, that played the first half when Miles Scott was out last week. And that was Mac Rosetich, who he made an unbelievable tackle in the open field and it just played a really good game. I think was our leading tackler in that one.
He played so well.
He was, you know, looking the part. So hopefully that's a good development and, you know, he can continue to get those reps, because he's flying all around the field, making plays like crazy. And I like to see that with that lettuce flowing out from under that ramen noodle hair he's got.
Yeah. I love that they kind of stuck with him and they didn't just immediately flip to Miles Scott in the second half. Like, they kind of let Rosetich keep playing and riding the hot hand. I mean, he was, by PFF standards, he played a great game. So like, they obviously were seeing it as well, but obviously, you know, with a staff like Brett Bielema has, you know, there's the football guyism of not losing your spot to injury, or in this case, you know, the stupid targeting call. And that was something where they could have very easily just deferred back to Miles getting the run at the start of the second half and letting Rosetich go out there and continue to bank good reps. Like, that is massive. That's going to pay dividends next year and in 2 years when he's got that confidence built from a game like that.
And then the other guy I want to give a shout out to is Hank Beatty, who's been really, really good on punt returns. Mm-hmm. Not a guy that I, you know, eye test look at and think, oh, he's a threat to bring it back. But he seems to make the right fair catch call when he needs to, and he seems to catch the balls cleanly now. I think we had a little bit of an issue with that early in the season, and he's cleaned that up, and he seems to be a sure-handed guy back there and makes the most of his opportunities.
Having that level of consistency in both the wide receiver room and at punt returner, like, obviously he's not blowing doors in terms of his speed, but he's obviously a pretty good athlete. But just even like, he's, you know, had it where he's been getting interfered and he's still catching the ball, and just like, you throw the ball up to him or you kick the ball up to him and you know that he's coming down with it with two hands, and even his then ability to have that sure-handedness but then
although
be decisive.
He did drop that one pass this week. He was wide open. That's on the sideline and had a drop, but everything else has been swallowed up by Hank Beatty this year.
Yeah, we're giving him the benefit of the doubt on that because of how good the punts were and because of the kick catch interference that he still somehow corralled. So
he fielded so many punts in that game that he forgot how to catch a ball that's coming to him horizontally. He's only used the balls dropping in from the sky.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's in a game like that, obviously there are many shout outs, but I like, you know, calling out a guy like that where when we were, you know, discussing the game, there wasn't like, you know, a discernible advantage in terms of yards, but picking up stuff like that, not necessarily unofficially, but just casually flipping the field like that when they are punting as much as they are, that's massive.
And Kenari Wilcher had a couple of returns, and one of which I thought was going to be tackled at, you know, 15 yards out of the end zone, and he was able to break it to the sideline, get, you know, 25, 26 yards out of it and make it a useful kick return. But good to see special teams. Fabrizio Pinton was in there. Hugh Robertson, I think, had one punt, but he was listed as a senior. I think maybe he's going to graduate this year. Maybe we don't have Hugh next year, so maybe Free Breezy is the guy. We'll see.
Well, we also got that kid, Declan Dooley, who I'm like, he was like the top, yep. He was like one of the top punters in the nation, top in-state guy.
Steve Weatherford Light, just a bodybuilder type of kid.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Get him some run. So I'd like to see that personally. Not that he has been very good this year, but there are still a couple times where it's just, and I get, we've been spoiled over the years with special teams play, but there's just still some games where, you know, the Minnesota game, for example, like there were just some punts there where you got to be better. So hopefully, you know, Declan's ready for that or Free Breezy, like you were saying.
All things considered, good special teams this year. Shout out Robbie Disher. Good to see the boys getting on track and making an impact in the games.
Oh yeah. We love that.
All right. Let's go to our picks of the week. Give me your player prediction. Who do you think's the X factor in this one?
I'm going to go with Gabe Akis. I feel like, you know, it's kind of riding the hot hand a little bit, but like, yeah, it's chalky, but in a game like this, especially when you're going to have your edges likely attack because of some of the injuries to the offensive line, specifically on the interior, you know, they're going to try and spread you out a little bit. You can't get caught in the wash. You can't get caught looking in the backfield. Got to be disciplined. And when your number is called to be disruptive and rush the passer, he's been able to get after it. And I'm really hoping that he continues that trend because he's quietly putting together a really nice middle portion of the season, like just closing strong, getting a sack, couple TFLs. My pick of the week.
Here's my take on Gabe. When Gabe is wearing the hoodie, he is, he is a first rounder. I think I tweeted something about it. When the hoodie comes on, he turns up a notch. Like he becomes Johnny Newton light when he's just, you know, in his summertime Florida, you know, no hoodie garb. He's a good player and you know, played well this year, but these last couple games when the hoodie comes out, Gabe is a different animal.
I think, you know, if we get him in the combine with a hoodie and he runs a 4.44, then people are gonna be finding your tweet. And we're going to go mega viral. Elon's going to be paying us millions of dollars.
See, like a team like the Green Bay Packers or the Chicago Bears or Buffalo draft, he's mm-hmm. probably like a, you know, second, maybe a first rounder. If he goes to Miami or he goes to Arizona or something, like he's a middle of the pack draft pick. But he's put together a couple really good games here recently. So I like that pick. It's on a similar note. It's all about shutting down Kyle Manungai, and I think T-Rod Edwards is the guy for the job. Run stuffer up the middle of the field. If they're running inside tackles, we need T-Rod clogging up lanes and making it difficult for Kyle to get his momentum downfield. So give me T-Rod Edwards this week. I'll say two TFLs.
And really, that's obviously the emphasis we're putting on it with our picks of the week. It's all going to be determined by the front seven. Like it's not that Kelly McManus can't do some damage with his arm, but where you're going to lose this game is if you do not dominate the trenches on defense. So,
and what we said too is Rutgers lost their right tackle last week. Their starting number one tight end is out. They lost a left guard earlier in the year, out for the season. So there's some, you know, inexperienced guys that will be in there. I think they said the guy filling in at right tackle played 17 career snaps. So that's where you got to eat this week. You got to win in the trenches, especially when Illinois is on defense, and see if we can get in the backfield and make things difficult for Kelly Akmanis and for Manungai.
That screams Gabe, like the Michigan game that he had where he just, you know, abused that right tackle. Just give me that part two.
All right. Give me your score prediction.
You know, when I think of Rutgers and Illinois, I think of a lot of bad. You know, the history in the past 5-10 years. And I feel like that's almost influencing my score prediction. So I'm going to go Illinois 13, Rutgers 10. A real slog fest. Really just nothing doing. Lots of punts. Just
gross
throwing it back
football.
To the Big Ten. Yeah. Throw it back to the when we had the Big Ten West and the Big Ten East. And this was like one of the only games where you were thinking, oh, we might get a win here. And it's just close late. 7-10, get a couple field goals. That's what I'm seeing.
I am going to go for something pretty similar here. I was going to go 17-13 Illinois. And I, like you, want it to be a game where you feel like you need a shower at halftime. It's just that gross. you're watching football that you're like, I don't even feel good about this right now. And you look at the defense, you're like, well, we are stopping them. But then every time the offense is out there, we're sputtering and they're sputtering. And it's just a mess. Maybe a couple turnovers, just ugly football. And you got to win a couple ugly games. So give me Illinois 17-13 in an equally gross game.
Let's win always. Let's blow out, you know, a Michigan State team. Let's handle a Michigan team. Let's win an ugly game against a Rutgers team in the birthplace of college football.
Get us to 8-3 with a chance to go 9-3 against Northwestern at Wrigley Field. Come on,
Dan. Are you sneaky? Are you sneaky rooting it because you picked 7 wins? Are you rooting against us this week because you want to be right so badly?
No, but it is nice to have that in my back pocket. So if we do lose, I'll say, well, you know, I'm still on track for my prediction. But you're feeling pretty good about your prediction.
Oh yeah.
8-4, I mean, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much gone down, like, not like I was saying, but like we're essentially winning the coin flips that we need to get to that point. But yes, I was the aggressor with going 8-4. A little bit of that was drinking the Kool-Aid, but also just this is exactly the team that you want. Like the Brett Bielema, like keep you close, win in the margins, take care of the small stuff, and then you beat teams that you were similarly talented to. And this is exactly what he's gone out and done. And you know, this week is really no different. It's, you know, two coaches that are, you know, establishing tough brands of football in their respective schools. And, you know, I know Schiano had the success earlier in his tenure before he went to the NFL, and now he's back. He's trying to recreate the magic. Bielema was trying to build something special. It just screams old school Big Ten football, especially at 11 a.m. You know, it'll be like sunny, but just so cold. You'll see the guys wearing the long sleeves and just can't wait for a bunch of 3-and-outs.
Schiano men versus Bielema boys, 11 a.m. Peacock too, which is equally gross. So
yuck.
It's going to be, I don't know. I think it's an ugly game, but it's two of the best versions of these football teams that we've seen in years going head to head. So I don't know that the result will be any different, meaning that it's not going to be, in my opinion, a huge shootout, but we'll see. That's why they play the games, John.
That's why they do it.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you for listening to this Rutgers Illinois preview episode. You know, a couple more episodes left this year and a bowl game headed our way
in
a month or so. Oh, possibly. I don't want to jinx anything.
We could have what, you know, 5 more episodes? No, 3 more episodes? 4 more episodes?
It depends.
Who knows?
Maybe a couple special guests.
Yeah.
You never know. The world's our oyster.
We're getting Brett Bielema on before the national championship game. You heard it here first.
I love it. Thank you for listening. As always, go Illini.